is Hall of Fame inductee and coach and member of the induction committee, Jim Talley.
The voice you just heard was that of Chelan High School Athletic Director Rob Rainville, who served as Master of Ceremonies for the most recent induction into the CHS Athletics Hall of Fame. Hi, everybody. Dennis Rahm here with this week's edition of Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com. We're going to be giving you a listen to that Hall of Fame induction ceremony in just a few minutes, a brief ceremony, but we think you will enjoy that as well. But also coming up on our program today, we will be having conversation with the Manson Chamber of Commerce President Jeff Comwell, who fills us in on good news that happened recently about a funding request coming through to help in the purchase of the Leffler Park project. We'll hear from Jeff here in just a little bit. And lastly, we will be visiting with Timmy Starkweather, who is the project coordinator of the Sowers Community Center in Manson. That, of course, is out there at the North Shore Bible Church location, but it is a community asset available for many uses. We'll find out all the details from Timmy coming up here in just a little bit. But we promised you Hall of Fame first. Let's go to that right now. This was, of course, recorded at the recent induction ceremony on Friday night, February the 1st. It was the senior night final home games for the Chelan basketball teams and the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the undefeated state championship football team of 1954 and also for longtime Chelan volleyball coach Donnie Hendricks. Let's give a listen.
Presenting the 1954 football team is Hall of Fame inductee and coach and member of the induction committee, Jim Talley. Here with us tonight, we have number 33, Bob Boyd. Number 15, Ray Foster. Number 17, Jack Holmes. And number 11, Carl Kovac. So just a little bit about our 1954 team. The 1954 state championship football team is the only football team in Mountain Goat history to win a state championship. The team was led by head coach Bill Richards and assistant coach Bill Lippincott. The 1954 team had a perfect 8-0 season. Chelan won the Warling Trophy, which was the state trophy voted on by the Washington State sports writers. The Mountain Goats had an offense that scored a total of 271 points, and the defense had only allowed a total of 46 points by opposing teams, having three shutouts and kept three teams a total of 7 points. The 1954 team was at the top of the state polls for all 8 weeks. Stan Boyd was an all-state, all-conference player, as well as being in the all-state game. Three of these players went on from this team to play college football. Stan went to the University of Washington, Dan Malcolm, and Mike Finnegan went on to play for Central Washington State College. They are the 2019 Induction Hall of Fame football team, the Chelan 1954 State B football team. Congratulations. The plaque that is presented will be hanged at the Hall of Fame wall inside the community gym. Thank you again to the 1954 football team that can make it. We appreciate your service. Great job. Our second inductee is Donnie Hendricks. Donnie Hendricks is here with Brian, Tanner, Colin, her parents Don and Elma. Donnie is being presented to her plaque by her longtime assistant coach, Connie Poyer. Donnie Hendricks coached high school volleyball for 22 years here at Chelan. In 14 seasons as the head coach for the Mountain Goats, Coach Hendricks accumulated over 250 match wins, including 179-15 in league, which is a 92% record. Over her head coaching career, her team won the league or district championship 12 times, including 10 state tournament appearances, receiving 8 state trophies along the way. Under her guidance, the Lady Mountain Goats played for the championship for the state five times, winning it all in 2010. She earned the CTL and CWAC Coach of the Year multiple times and was a Class 1A Coach of the Year in 2010. Above the numerous wins and all the league and district titles, state championship trophies, Coach Hendrick's legacy will be measured by the hundreds of student athletes that she positively influenced over the years that she coached. Her work ethic and willing to excel combined with her humility and servant leadership style has made her a role model that defines what it means to be a true leader. Donnie's accomplishments and character make her one of the truly great coaches in Chelan High School history. Please congratulate Donnie Hendricks, 2019, in the Chelan Athletic Hall of Fame.
Again, that was Rob Rainville, the Chelan Athletic Director, who was doing the MC duties for the Hall of Fame induction. Fun night out at Chelan High School, and I hope many of you had a chance to be there as well. Congratulations to Donnie Hendricks and the 1954 football team from Chelan High School. All right, we also caught up this week with Jeff Comwell out at the Manson Chamber of Commerce. Jeff has been instrumental in putting together an effort for the community to have purchased a nearly 6-acre parcel of land known as Leffler Field that they now hope to turn into Leffler Park. The Chamber has teamed up now with Manson Park and Recreation. They got some great news this week with $500,000 being approved towards the $1.3 million purchase price of that. That money coming through from the Chelan County Commissioner. So Jeff was a pretty excited guy.
Oh, we were absolutely ecstatic, Dennis. It's one of those things where you reach out and you hope, but when it finally comes through, what this means to our community is going to be really, really big. And it was huge. This puts us way further down the road than we currently are. So it sets us up, I think, for our next ask with the state to show the state that, you know, there's momentum here and that they can be confident in participating in this as well.
Let's talk about that now. You have requested an additional $500,000 from the State Ways and Means Committee. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, the Manson Parks Department, we've been working with them hand in hand. And so the asks for both of these were really through the Manson Park and Recreation Department, because ultimately that's where the funds will come through to actually make that purchase, because it will ultimately be held in the park's name.
Jeff, I know that'll have to wait until later in the legislative session before you learn how that request at the state level is going to be fielded. Let's talk about what happens between now and then. You've got a great start on this, nearly 40% of the $1.3 million that you need to raise with this one $500,000 chunk from the county. You're requesting another $500,000 from the state. Now, are you going to be activating and getting into that public process as well, looking for some additional funding?
Yeah, actually, Dennis, you can be looking for a few different public opportunities. We want to bring the community into this, and that's both in meetings that we'll be holding to let people know about the opportunity, how they can give, how they can participate, and, of course, online. We've got a website that's established. We're going to be releasing that web name. We've actually updated the name, and so we're just putting the finishing touches on that. We're going to roll that out. It's a site that people can get more information on, as well as make a contribution to the project. It's going to really be a game changer for the look and feel of downtown Manson. And, you know, when you look at the parks that we have, our community stands for parks. They get behind parks, and they participate in supporting our parks. So we think this will be one of those as well.
And, of course, under the terms of the proposed purchase of this, you now have, what, a little bit less than 4 months to get the monies pulled together?
Yeah, it looks like our deadline is going to be May 31st to have this completed. The Lefflers have been very generous in giving us the opportunity, so we want to make sure we're as true to that deadline as possible so that we can lock it up and secure it as a park for all time for Manson.
And our thanks to Jeff Comwell, President, Manson Chamber of Commerce, for that update on the Leffler Park project. Now, we also promised you today in-depth conversation with Timmy Starkweather about the Sowers Community Center out in Manson. We're going to have that conversation coming up right after the break here on Making Waves on LakeChelanNow.com.
Chelan Realty, the oldest real estate firm in the Lake Chelan Valley, owned and operated by the Higgins family since 1972. If you're looking to sell or buy real estate, check out the team at Chelan Realty. Visit online at chelanrealty.com or stop in at 141 East Wooden Avenue, downtown Chelan.
Frontline Real Estate, powered by Keller Williams, proud to support the student athletes of our valley. Russ McClellan has been aggressively working the local real estate market for the past 29 years. If you're interested in a career in real estate, be sure to give Russ a call at 682-1111, 682-1111. Frontline Real Estate, located at 2120 West Wooden Avenue in Lakeside, or visit them online at frontlinerealestate.com.
Well, we roll along here on this week's edition of Making Ways. Right now, an opportunity to introduce to you the project coordinator of the Sowers Community Center, located as part of the North Shore Bible Church out in Manson. We're visiting with Timmy Starkweather today, who got involved in this when she first became a part of, way back in 2016, a project called Vegetable Soup Brigade, a women's ministry, and one thing led to another. And before Timmy knew it, by the way, Timmy has a background in construction, the next thing she knew, she was heading up a project on the Sowers Community Center.
But in my life, I've led ministries for over 40 years and that kind of thing. But I've been in construction too. So, and I was involved with the rehab of the sanctuary. They decided that we needed a vision committee for the rest of the building. So I was asked to be on that committee. And from that, I guess I became the project manager.
And I'm certain that that was an awful lot of work entailed in that. And before we get into kind of the nuts and bolts about the facility here itself and some of the things that it's going to be bringing to the community, let's go back for people that may not know or understand the name itself of the Sowers Community Center. Take us back to how that originated.
Well, way back, almost 30 years ago, it was decided that the church needed to expand. And there was a group of volunteers that came from all over the United States, and they are called Sowers. And they go throughout the United States building church buildings or hospitals or whatever, wherever they're needed. But it's all volunteer help. So they came here and they built this building, this part of the building. And so we have dedicated this part of the building as Sowers Hall Community Center.
And there came a point, as I understand it, that was many years back, as you talked about, that it really was kind of getting to the state where something had to be done in terms of bringing it back up to date, and that kind of began a process, it sounds like, of let's not only fix it up, but where can we take it next?
Where can we take it next? Yes, and that's very true, Dennis. You know, as we looked at the community and our church community as well, how can we best service the entire valley? You know, that had been kind of my vision when we started Vegetable Soup Brigade, was the valley wide and of course North Shore has always embraced that. They've always invited everybody and anything to this church and to this church facility to help in any way they can. So when we started talking about this facility and what was here, what we already had, and how we could improve it, and how we could take it back to the community and say, look, here we are, use us, come, be a part of. So that was kind of the background behind it.
Was the Kid Haven kind of the first step maybe in seeing that this could be made to better use in a community?
Yes, I think that Kid Haven was a huge part of that. You know, we realized, when all of a sudden you went from 10 kids to 12 kids to 30 kids to 50 kids, and you're going, wow, and you haven't even scratched the surface of what's out there. Efren is our worship pastor and youth pastor, and he works with the kids at the high school and at the middle school, and we now have two amazing groups of young people that come here and use this facility all the time. We have Frenzy. Frenzy is an organization that the church has sponsored for, I don't know, maybe 20 years, and it's on Wednesday nights, and these kids from all over the valley come here and learn not only about how to be grateful for what they have, but also how to give back. And that's, you know, and what God has for them. And that's really, you know, as you look at our amazing, amazing area that we live in and the communities that we live in. That's always what it is, always.
Now, of course, this facility is a part of the North Shore Bible Church plant, the facility.
The facility is.
But my understanding is this 6,700-some-hundred square foot piece of it is actually now has been set up as a separate entity.
It has. And it's not just the gymnasium. The education part of this has been set up as part under that comes under Sowers Hall Community Center. And so that is governed by a different board. There is a separateness to that. If the church needs this facility, obviously they will take precedent, and that's just fine. That's part of the community.
Now, Pastor Craig Raymond has been here for a long, long time, shortly after.
39 years.
Yeah. What's it like working with him and putting together a separate entity organization like this? How has that gone?
Really well. You know, he really has embraced this, but he really is about community, and he loves this. He gets really engaged. I have the privilege of sitting in the elder board because I bring all the problems to them and listening to them and how they care and how they're trying to make this amazing space available to the community and making sure that it's first class and that it really resonates with the community itself. So
at some point, there had to come that decision-making process of how far do we go with this? How much do we push on this? I want to ask you about something I made a note of. It was referred to as Miracle Sunday back in August 19 of 2018. What happened there?
Well, we had a vision committee that met for over a year, and we identified every single project within the church that needed to be addressed in terms of its physical use and what it needed. We came up with a list. The parking lot was literally sinking. Okay, so the gymnasium was just in total disarray. Bathrooms needed to be upgraded. Hallways needed to be done. Classrooms needed to be done. The kitchen needs to be redone. We need to create a coffee area for people because we are to the wall. We have no more space. So creating new spaces and things like that. So we took that and we put it in a list and we prayed about it and we came up with, okay, we're going to go for 40 days and pray about this. This was Craig who led us in this, and he said, and there's a book, and it's called Circle Making, and it's a book about how God wants you to pray about your needs, the things that have to happen, you know, your change your heart, whatever. So we went to prayer, and we asked the congregation to read the book and to pray for 40 days, and we did. And then at the end of 40 days, we had a Miracle Sunday, and we asked the congregation or whomever wanted to give to come and give what they wanted. And we raised enough money to do the entire parking lot, to do this room, which was enormous. And so we have monies left over to start the hub. We've just picked up the permit for that, which is the coffee area. We have monies left over to start with flooring for Kid Haven. And then we'll move into the kitchen. So we're not done with our projects and the fundraising that will need to happen and that kind of thing. But what we are doing is we've made a dent, a big dent. And this building is already being utilized a lot.
So you're hand in hand, side by side with North Shore Bible Church, mm-hmm. but you still have this separate nonprofit 501(c) right. that is set up, and you have a 7-member board. Anybody you want to talk about on that board and give some thanks to?
Well, they're all amazing. Lonnie Buck is our chairperson, and she, you know, she's run businesses and things like that. She's got a steel trap mind. So she really understands compartmentalizing and what we need to do in order to get things done. She's the president of the PTAC board for Manson, so she does fundraising and that kind of thing. She also knows how to write for grants. And so having that element within your board is amazing, first of all. Takes the pressure off the rest of us. So she is a key person. But we have, you know, Jeff Conwell, who's been a huge, huge, huge help in all of this. You know, he's a big thinker, and we just love big thinkers. Most of us think outside the box a little bit, but those two probably challenge us the most, I would say.
Let's get into some of the fun stuff, because I was making some notes, and I know you've indicated you're not done with the project in its entirety, but there's been a lot of very interesting things that have already been accomplished. We're sitting here inside the community center, I'll call it the gymnasium part, for lack of a better word, right, perhaps, because it's certainly nicer than just a gymnasium. But part of this makeover, Timmy, has included three pickleball courts, and by the way, we'll have couple of photos up on our website at lakeshorelandnow.com so folks can see those. So three pickleball courts, which is the fastest growing sport, as a matter of fact, in the United States right now. It's a full-size AAU basketball court that's set up in here. And tell me about the surface here, this flooring.
Yeah, the flooring is just amazing. We went out for bids for about three different different companies. We looked at the floors that were put in universities, basketball courts, and so on and so forth. And we found this company out of Texas called DynaFloors, and they are amazing. They came in here with their crew. It was, you know, I've run construction projects for many, many years. I have never dealt with one like this. It was just seamless.
So, Timmy, we're also sitting, you and I, right now on a professional-grade removable stage.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, my word. You know, sometimes miracles really do happen, Dennis, and this was one of them. We had a gentleman call and donate all of the furniture for the new coffee area. They were going out of business, and they used to put on all kinds of productions, and this stage was part of it. We got this for practically nothing. It can become 12 feet wide, 45 feet long. It's just amazing. And then we can stack it so we can have tiers, and you can have runways, you can do anything. So it's amazing. It's modular. So you just, it's Legos. You put it together, take it apart.
So we're looking at kind of the mini version of it right now, almost.
Yes, it really is. This part of it probably will stay pretty stationary, and that kind of thing. It's not as light as Legos, I can tell you, but it's fabulous, because with this is part of the stuff that we put underneath this floor right here. So it's very absorbent in terms of sounds and things like that, which is critical when you have a band up here. So we're really excited. We do, you know, we do the Christmas cantata here, and that's valley-wide, and it's growing. We've just had, and we have so many other things. We do we just did Winterfest here, so we do those kinds of things. So we watch for opportunities to serve the community.
And still in progress with the remodel, the construction, and I know you're pretty excited about it, a new sound system.
Oh, yes. Well, that's just going in right now. And so it was interesting. This last week, we had a women's get-together here, and we only had one microphone, and it was fine for what we were doing. But the new sound is going to be incredible. Incredible. It's all wireless. It's going to be just amazing. So,
how about the pickleball courts? Have they been broken in?
We had somebody come and ask if they could start a tournament or league here. So that's in the process of being negotiated. We have to make sure that we are covered by insurance and so on and so forth. All those details that you have to do whenever you have a business, make sure that everybody's okay. So that I know that they're in conversations with Pickleball League, I guess it's called.
Timmy, let's talk about the aspect of the community center. And because we're physically here in Manson, but as this has been set up and built out and visioned, much like the church itself, because members come from all over the valley, the intended use of this is valley-wide as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think the entire focus of not only the church's desire, but the committee itself that runs Sowers Hall, that is always our, what can we do in our communities valley-wide? And that doesn't mean just Manson and Chillon. That goes to Brewster. It goes to Bridgeport. It goes to Malaga, wherever. You know, wherever anybody can hear about us, come. It's that simple.
So speaking of that, if somebody has an idea, I know you have a individual that's doing a boot camp here, doing exercise classes in the morning here. What if there are others out there that maybe have some uses that they think might be appropriate to bring out here? Who do they get a hold of, and how do they make that happen?
You'd have to get a hold of Whitney Pittman, Her number is 509-860-6511.
You have a lot of people that have spent hours and days and weeks and months envisioning this whole concept. We've talked about pickleball, AAU basketball, musical events. What are some of the things maybe that came up? Were there any kind of crazy ideas or just the things that you would typically expect?
Well, you know, things like, okay, so we do a lot of fundraising for a lot of different things throughout the valley. Everybody does. Stars and Stripes, for instance, where we raise funds for our fireworks here, which we are trying to even make even bigger. So holding that event here, that kind of thing. Summer projects, what can we do with youth here in the valley? We are promoting a huge event for women throughout the state of Washington, actually, for this facility. It's called Hello Beautiful. It will be held April 26th through the 28th. It's a 2-day conference. We have amazing speakers. Melissa Maimoni and Alexa Pandata are going to be here as our speakers, talking about what it means to be beautiful women and what that entails in terms of how women feel about themselves and what they can give to others. So that's one of the ways that we promote this facility. And we talk about youth and doing those same kinds of things, bringing youth in, bringing in men's groups to do that kind of thing. You know, we talked earlier, you and I, about Loeffler Field and the possibilities of how we could make this all work together. I think that's amazing. I get really excited about that. Concerts. Think about bringing in a huge concert here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So those kinds of things we're looking at.
Because if you were to seat in here, it seems like I read somewhere and saw a number, you feel you could probably get about 400 people
about
in here?
About 400 people. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's pretty exciting, isn't it? So when we talk about doing dinners, we probably can seat 300 very comfortably and serve them here.
Now, I know you're doing the kitchen. That's going to be a remodel. Will that be a commercial-grade kitchen?
It already is. But it's also old, and it's in need of upgrade. So that's one of the things that we will continue to fundraise for, as we will some of the other facilities and things like that that we need. So it's a work in progress. We have Kid Haven. We would love to be able to sponsor some play equipment for them. And they need a special alarm inside of the gymnasium so that they can play in here during the winter months, because the state demands a certain type of fire alarm that we don't have, even though we have sprinklers and all of that. You have to have something that screams and blinks as well. So, and that's an expensive item. So we've had very generous people give enough for the alarm, so now we're looking for the rest of it for the conduit, which is another $3,500. So it just goes on and on and on. So those are the things that we're involved with as far as the nonprofit is. How do we help the things that are going on, not just here, but also throughout our valley?
One of the things I noticed also is that you have plans for, it was called, I believe, at least at the time, Connection Cafe, a coffee shop. And with all the things you're planning, that's probably a darn good idea.
Well, I think we hit a lot of nerve when we said cafe. That we've always had Connection Cafe in the back of our sanctuary for coffee after services and things like that. Well, our congregation has grown, and that gets very busy back there, and it's very noisy, and it's not conducive to worship service or anything like that. So people are just jammed up against walls. So where can we create more space? So that, coming in the main doors, we looked at a room that was no longer in use. How can we open this up? How can we make it more user-friendly? So it was also our hub area, where we have a connection desk and so on and so forth. So for us that sit around a table, we call it the hub, because it's really where
everything gets done.
So the hub is where the new coffee area is going to be. And what we're doing is we're taking out the walls of an old nursery and the walls of the old library. We're moving the library upstairs. We have an elevator that goes upstairs. And the library will not only house our library, but it will we also hold ESL up there. So, and we have like 30 people that come to ESL, which is really exciting. And now we are going to create spaces for young people to come to study. young people who, you know, kids in middle school and high school that actually need help with their homework. So that's part of our vision as well. And we have Wi-Fi up there and so on and so forth. And so we've just put in new shelving and brought in new furniture and done all of this. So, I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on.
So someone that comes by and sees it this winter will likely see something a lot different come summertime.
Oh, absolutely. We just got our permit to pull down the walls today. So they're coming down.
Look out. Here comes Timmy.
Look out. I am so excited. So it actually starts, we have the truck out there for all the debris. So it's going to be starting within the next day or two.
Thank you very much, Timmy Starkweather, talking with us all things about the Sowers Community Center out in Manson. By the way, their website, if you're looking for information and maybe you have an idea for a program you'd like to see there or how to tap into some of the offerings that they have, you can check them out online at Sowers, that's S-O-W-E-R-S, SowersCC.com. SowersCC.com for all the information. Our thanks as well today for Jeff Kummel taking time to visit with us about the Leffler Park project in Manson. And of course, we hope you enjoyed a brief look into the Hall of Fame ceremony conducted recently for the Chelan Athletic Hall of Fame. That's a wrap on our program here on Making Waves, a part of LakeChelanNow.com. I'm Dennis Rahm. So long, and we'll catch you around the bend.